Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You get our son.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 134. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trow Ballins, Captain Marvel review, John Turturro interview, and a captain draft thought up by Trow Ballins in the final 30 seconds of last week's episode.
Sometimes it just comes to you, Jeff. Sometimes it just comes to you.
So we're going to be drafting five different fictional or real life captains. They don't have to be in movies. Just anyone referred to as captain. Captain Han Solo does not count. He does say I'm the captain of Millennium Falcon, but nobody fucking calls him Captain Han Solo. So he is not eligible.
They call him Commander, I think, on Hoth, right? Or something, Commander Solo?
That's a good trivia point. That's not pertinent to our draft today.
But yeah, he's not eligible, but other people are. Otherwise, what's cracking? What's popping? What did the kids say? Ooh. What's going on?
You're on mute, Kenjack. Dude, come on. I'm counting my calories.
Did you make it 20 seconds into the pod without my fucking plug falling out of my microphone?
I'm sorry. I have a calorie counting app. I'm counting my calories. I'm trying to restrict myself to 1855 a day.
That's a good goal.
Yeah, that is.
And it's reasonable. You know, I'm paying attention to my macros. Got my macros going. They're pretty bad today, but I'm paying attention to it. And I've been good the last 3 days. So I'm confident. I'm going to try to lose 10 pounds, get myself back into cut off sleeve lawn mowing body. white Nike Air Monarchs with grass stains going down the sides. Just a butt sweat stain in my denim shorts. I'm going to be that guy.
I don't know why you would need to worry about what people see when you mow your lawn, since you live in Hoboken, you can't have that much grass, but I respect it.
It's a rooftop garden and people are looking down on me. You know, you people in Manhattan are looking with your telescopes down at my rooftop garden in Hoboken, looking at me mowing my lawn with my little my John Deere, which is on a roof, by the way. So please respect me. Just mowing it. And you guys are just judging me going to Italy, which I don't go to anymore for obvious reasons, but you guys still go there. That's fine. He's a different breed out here in Hoboken.
He's just neighbors with Richard Grieco and doesn't want to look bad to him.
Me and David Schwimmer just hang out on Friday nights. We go down to the pool hall. We shoot a game of eight ball and we crack a few Corona lights, always Corona lights.
Trill, you'd be happy to know I watched Triple Frontier today this morning.
Oh, don't talk about that yet.
No, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to say that there is at least three types of Frontiers. I'm just giving the heads up.
Thank God.
Also, my hands are covered in tikka masala. I'm just realizing.
They're
like orange.
They look like you ate Cheetos, which, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say you ate Cheetos. You just don't want to admit it. Also, Trill.
Do people do that where they rub their fingers together to get to ball the dust up and then just flick it off? Is that like a common technique?
I don't know. You and I agreed on something though the other day, that Cheetos puffs are better than regular Cheetos.
100% I agree with that.
I don't think it's close.
I ate this with a spoon. How did this happen?
I feel like Bernstein Bears, again, in the early 90s, Cheetos puffs were the de facto Cheetos. Like those were the Cheetos. And then somewhere along the way, crunchy Cheetos became the Cheetos. and I still like Cheetos Puffs. I think they're a more enjoyable snack. I like the airiness of them.
They're way better. I totally agree with you guys.
They used to have Planters cheese balls, which I cut my finger open one time opening a can when I was a dumb 5-year old. Because they had the you know, like the pull tab can opener, and you pulled it open, and then I sliced my finger on that trying to get my greedy ass little hoof in there. I just need a cheese ball. I can't wait. And I need a cheese ball, and I cut myself open. Had to go to the ER.
They're just better, and they came out with this new thing. It's like the Flamin' Hot little balls, which they kind of look like. Looks like they would come in a tube, like a 90s thing. I mean, similar to what you're just saying now, but we are talking about it. And I just sound off. There you go. That's our new segment. Sound off. Let us know. Tweet us about this exact thing.
Regular Booty is basically better. An adult version of a puffy Cheeto.
That's very true. But I just want you to just tweet us. Cheetos Puffs or Crunchy Cheetos. No other words. Don't explain yourself. That's all you got to tweet at us.
All I was going to say is that the first response to that tweet call out is going to be somebody giving you like a thesis as to why they chose which Cheeto they chose. Even though you said, like, just tweet us your pick. He's going to be like, well, here's why I picked the Crunchy Cheeto. And here's a 5 bulletin point as to why.
Do you know what my favorite feeling is? Or an underrated feeling? Maybe not my favorite feeling.
Coming.
Yeah. I mean, 1A. But when you get Cheetos on your fingers at the pool and you dive into the pool and you let the water just rip away all the Cheeto dust from your fingers.
Just imagining you like in the scene in American Beauty, you're just sitting in the bath, just like letting the dust float off you like the rose petals.
It's like Captain Marvel gaining her powers in reverse. I'm just letting the water rip off all the hydrogenated oil Cheeto dust from my hands.
I've been doing these rankings on Twitter because I wanted to frustrate myself and have people yell at me all day. Man, people are nuts. The chicken tender rankings. People told me to fucking die. It's crazy. And it wasn't Colonel Sanders. So he was just the only person who gets that ability to tell me to fuck off.
Yeah, but, dude. Because everybody on Twitter during the day, they're all like, I don't know, waiting for HR to email them back some payroll file so they can go like do their piece before they ship it off to accounting or something. So they're bored and they can't do any more work until they get their other work. So they just log on to Twitter and they see you and they see you're verified and they're just like, oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. Basically. And then everyone I asked for their list and they're cowards. They wouldn't do it. It's okay. But I did those and it inspired me tomorrow at 12 o'clock. So Thursday, the 14th at 12 p.m. I will be releasing a 64 restaurant fast food, fast casual bracket. So people can yell at each other instead of me. That's basically what it's going to boil down to. So a March Madness of fast food and fast casual restaurants.
Got to make sure you tag all the restaurants involved so they can send us some free shit.
Oh, you better fucking believe it. You better believe it. Of course I ranked Outback number one in chain restaurant bread.
I hope we can see.
Nothing free yet.
I hope we can see which restaurants are still tweeting like it's 2009 and which restaurants are like 2019 sicko mode style. Because some of them will be like, great pick, Jeff. What will you order? And then some of them will be like, if you come in, it's fucking on site.
Yeah, you're canceled, sis.
That's what Zaxby's, I gave them number one. Zaxby's tweeted me saying, Kings Day Kings. So they did that, which I feel like that's kind of in the middle of that. But there's a bunch of places that were tweeting at my repliers who were trying to cape. By the way, Chick-fil-A was the one. Everyone was so mad at me that I didn't put Chick-fil-A strips top 5. Chick-fil-A strips are significantly worse than their nuggets.
Oh, they are. They fall apart.
Who is going to get strips at Chick-fil-A? Find me the person who's picking those over the nuggets because you are shamed.
Someone's going to tweet you back, or one of the restaurants is going to tweet you back like the summoning circle tweet, but it's like your man's in the middle or something like that.
Yeah, that's the new popular one. We haven't done that one yet. I'm happy.
We haven't.
We're going to talk about the Aladdin trailer tonight and then tweet the picture of Adam Sandler in Big Dad or in fucking Billy Madison.
Easy money engagement, do the summoning circle tweet, but then do National Treasure 3. We should tweet that out right now and take bets who gets the most retweets, like who's closer to the amount of retweets it gets by the end of the show.
I'm gonna tweet it from the account. I'm gonna go for the from the LCB account. Okay, so that's that. I got that coming out tomorrow. You can find the vote. I'm sure that'll go over swimmingly. I think that's it. Also, My football team got significantly better since our last episode.
They did. Go off, King.
So that was fucking cool. I already went off on radio today. Very excited. Welcome, Odell Beckham. This is also my last podcast as a 27-year-old. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
When's your birthday?
I don't like saying, but just okay, know that fine. I'll be 28 the next time we do this
before podcast. Sunday. So sometime before Sunday.
Yeah.
So really, wow, that's 3 days. How'd you know 3 days.
What if I just lied? Also, Ken Jack, his birthday is coming up soon. And I'll give you a hint. It's going to be on or around the day of a big movie release. And I'll give you another hint. It involves many actors and actresses crossing over, and the movie might become the highest grossing movie of all time. So
that's right.
Not obvious, but
that's right. Flatliners. Lots of actors crossing over.
We have an ad. We should do an ad.
That's you, dude. That's such a good joke.
This is a live read, right?
Your joke, that is. We do have a live read. You want to do that one first?
Yeah, let's do that one first. Let's do that. We're trying to do a very little edit episode, so we're going to try to string this dead space together a little bit. Nice pocket tee, Trill.
Oh, thanks. Very nice. I appreciate it. The pocket hides my left nipple, which is very fat right now.
Your left nipple?
My breast. That's why I'm counting calories. I need to lose some weight. Okay, I need to lose some weight. You just made me come out and say it.
Join the club, dude.
I will say a question I get a lot when people ask if I've met you is they ask if you're actually fat. That's a common question. And I'm not just making that as a joke when you said that. I commonly get asked if you're really fat.
Tro's digitally the guy that wears a t-shirt in the pool.
I'm just, yes, I crop myself out of every photo and add a beach chair sticker to it or a pair of sunglasses. No, I'm about 5'10 and a half, 190 right now. 190 is not a good weight for me. I don't carry it well. I look like a thumb with a rubber band tied around it too tightly.
It's graphic imagery for people.
All right. Let me say another set the scene one. Let me set the scene. Captain Marvel star Jude Law is out dumpster diving with his good friends Patrick Warburton and Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
Yeah! I just want to thank you guys again for coming out to Dumpster Dive for 90s throwback clothing with me, international megastar Jude Law, who's Australian for some reason in this accent.
Yeah, no problem, Jude. Just curious what we're looking for here.
Yeah, baby, what's the deal? Yada da 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 da. So basically, I'm looking for clothes, shoes, and accessories to fit my body, budget, and lifestyle. Since leaving the set of Young Pope, I've just struggled to look cool without a personal stylist.
Hey, baby, I found an Echo Unlimited sweatshirt that's bright red and covered in barbecue sauce stains. Yeah!
Not quite my style.
Hey, how about a pair of this cream-colored Airwalks here?
I don't think those are my size, which is 15, because I'm very handsome and have a big penis.
Hey, how about this flat brim?
What else is on the flat brim, if you could read?
Oh, hey, baby, how about this Cookie Monster flat brim? Yeah!
It's not even true 90s.
Hey, Jude, why don't you just use Stitch Fix? They pair you up with a stylist and ship you clothes based on what you like. You even get to send back what you don't want free of charge.
Yada da da da, yeah, baby! LC boys use it all the time. In fact, if you go to stitchfix.com/lights, you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. Yada da da da! I don't want to miss a thing.
Jesus Christ.
Can't believe that's who you picked.
Hey, that's a great idea. You guys sure are talented, even though neither of you are named Mr. Ripley.
Oh, brother.
Let's kill him, baby.
Yeah, sure thing, Peter. Stephen, just give me one of your 200 scarves.
That guy sure does wear a lot of scarves. Just to give you guys a little input on the skit.
Ladies, as long as this mustache is here, you always have a place to sit, baby.
I gave Jeff, because I didn't want to make either of them do Jude Law. I was like, you guys just pick two people you're comfortable doing impressions of. And I honestly did not see Steven Tyler coming.
I can't do an impression of anybody. So I just might as well just do something stupid.
Stitch Fix. Yeah, it's an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, accessories, and more to fit your body, budget, and lifestyle. Just go to stitchfix.com/lights. Tell me your sizes, what styles you like, and how much you want to spend on each item. You get paired with a stylist. They'll handpick some items, ship them right to your door, try them on, pay for what you love, and then you return it all. Well, you return the rest, which you don't want. Shipping, exchanges, and returns, always free. No subscription required. Their styling fee is only $20, which is applied toward anything you keep from your shipment. Get started now at stitchfix.com/lights, and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all five items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/lights to get started today. stitchfix.com/lights. All right, news. Oof, there we go. Full Aladdin trailer. First one released the other morning. Oh, boy. I don't have many good things to say about this trailer. I'm going to keep it real with you right now. The genie looks like shit. And actually, hot take. Let's see if you agree with me. I think Jafar is the worst part about this trailer/movie. I think the Jafar horribly miscast.
What? I love that guy. He's such a good actor. He's not evil enough looking, though, to be fair.
But that's my point. It's nothing to do with him as an actor. Just, I mean, he's like a high school bully. Like he's just not Jafar. Jafar's an older dude, kind of ugly looking, and has a deep voice and, I don't know, menacing. That's not menacing. It's just a guy. It's a guy who wants some shit.
Aladdin in elevator.
Just do this voice for this bit for the rest of the pod, please. Wait, but we forgot to mention the good news about
Genie
this.
Genie is blue and he's off the ground.
You start cover band. the first Midwestern fucking cover band of whatever his name is. I think we're burying a lead here. Alan Tudyk voicing Iago.
Well, I mean, that was the next news item.
Oh, shoot. I didn't look at the rundown yet. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll just combine it. Alan Tudyk voicing Iago, which is we were waiting for it. We actually talked about him not having a voice because there were rumors that they were going to try to keep it more realistic and it wasn't going to talk. The bird, but apparently the bird has to fucking talk. Major part of the movie. So it's going to be Alan Tudyk because I guess Gilbert Gottfried didn't make sense for them anymore. But the trailer, I don't know. I think the genie stuff looks terrible. The poster, it's just the Will Smith version of the genie. Exactly like that. That's a bad look. I mean, Disney doesn't have any bad looks in terms of their marketing recently. That's a bad look. That's them openly admitting basically that they think it looks like shit because they don't want their poster just roasted hanging in movie theaters. So I very much, I know I'm a Disney shill and I know they pay us, very much out on this movie right now. There's nothing that appeals to me. I'm excited.
Like the singing. I think that's the only thing I like about it. The singing is so good.
I'm excited for the music, but other than that, I mean, I could just watch the regular Aladdin. It's got to do something to wow me, and this is just driving me away.
It's pretty crazy how 10 years ago this would have been a huge, huge deal, and Disney in 2019 is just burying this next to Avengers and Star Wars and Lion King and everything else they got going on this year. I mean, this movie's getting buried like E.T. in the desert.
This and Dumbo. Like, I mean, they're just like, let's get rid of these fucking movies.
No, I mean, at least Dumbo, like Lion King, right? Lion King's July, right?
Yes, I believe so.
And Aladdin is that a holiday deal?
I think Aladdin's June.
See, and that's what I don't get. That's way too close. We get Dumbo, we get Aladdin, we get Lion King. And nobody's going to remember Aladdin. That's the thing about it, is the Lion King's just going to completely overshadow it to the point where Aladdin will be a footnote. So it really doesn't matter how bad the genie may or may not be.
Well, what do you think gets forgotten more, that or Dumbo? Because Dumbo is a movie I haven't even seen it yet. I've already forgotten about it.
Yeah, but Dumbo has no expectations.
I mean, I think people love Dumbo. Like, even when every time we talk about Dumbo, we get people talking about it more. They're like, oh, I love Dumbo growing up. That's such a great cartoon movie.
I think it's easier to pull Dumbo off in live action than it is to pull Aladdin off. Because pulling Aladdin off, a live action remake, all revolves around the genie. And if you don't nail the genie and then combine that with the fact that you don't look like you're nailing Jafar, it's just not good. Dumbo, I don't even know who another human character. The only thing I really remember about Dumbo is that it's a flying elephant and the original cut was extremely racist.
That's like most early Disney stuff. Mm-hmm.
I joked to Kendrick today that I'm not looking forward to our Dumbo screening in like 2 weeks, but I actually am looking more forward to that than I am Aladdin because of the Keatonis. It's Michael Keaton. You know what? I don't love everything Tim Burton does, but he has a style and he commits to it. So I'm okay with that. I'm a little more interested in that than I am Aladdin. Aladdin has turned me off at every turn, every corner. They've turned me off.
I think they'll get better, though. I think the trailers will get progressively better. They definitely don't want to put it like the best trailer they have first, I wouldn't imagine, because like people are still going to see it no matter what. Even if the first trailer shit, I think they're going to save it. I think trailer 3, that's going to be the best one. That's my call.
But here, my biggest issue, though, is the genie. And I know that's like such a cliche thing to talk about, but I just see Will Smith. Why do they not cartoonize the genie? Like, it doesn't need to look like it's a fucking genie.
What do you mean? Like, make it almost like Who Framed Roger Rabbit or something?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't make it look like... No, not like an actual like hand-drawn cartoon, but make the face a little crazier. Like, you can't make Jafar's face 10 feet long like it is in the movie. Like, I get that, okay? But the genie could have been a little more like the cartoon in a sense of just looking goofier. He just looks like blue-faced Will Smith. Like, I mean, that's just – it's hard for me to look at. It completely takes me out of it. And I can look past that for most movies, but that takes me out of it so much.
Here's kind of a gross hypothetical, right? Then I'll feel good about proposing this, but it's something to think about. If Robin Williams were still with us, would he be in this movie?
Yes.
I would assume so.
In the same way James Earl Jones is in Lion King. That's just like the one you can't replace.
That's what I was thinking too. And like, so the whole point of that is to come around to like, if hypothetically it was him, do you think they would make him look like Robin Williams, or do you think they'd make him look like his original animated genie?
That's a good question. I think the Will Smith thing too, and this is not me crapping on Will Smith, well, it probably sounds like it, but I think that's part of the deal, is that they wanted it to look like Will Smith.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the draw for them. But it definitely backfired.
When you pay for Will Smith, you want to market Will Smith. I get that. And that's actually why Disney got in hot water with the original Aladdin, is because Robin Williams, I think, didn't want them to market the movie with his name attached or name attached up top. And they did anyway. And they ended up having to buy him a Picasso painting in order to apologize and to get him to do movies again, basically, for them.
It's fair. I mean, hey, just good on him. He got what he wanted.
Got his bag.
All right. Well, Aladdin, Iago. Interesting reactions to the trailer. I was out on it. I was kind of bummed out from what we saw. And again, the telltale sign that they're probably worried about it or skeptical is the fact that a poster has the regular genie in human form, Will Smith. That's oof. It's tough luck.
You know what this feels like to me? This feels like a staging of a live Aladdin production on ABC, like how they just did Rent Live or how they just did Jesus Christ Superstar. It feels like that.
That would actually be fun to watch, like a Rent Live version, except Aladdin Live. I would love to watch that.
Definitely be fun, but that'd be fun in a live. Like the part of the Rent Live was they weren't live, and it was still an entertaining performance. But part of the fun watching it live is seeing it live. Watching this movie is like this big staging for this Aladdin musical, and it's just boring because there's no energy. There's no energy in this movie, is what I feel. I'm not feeling the energy.
I didn't mean specifically Rent Live, maybe more like Grease Live, which was actually live. And that was a really fun production. I enjoyed that quite a bit. Yeah, but Jesus Christ Superstar.
Hey, one.
That's the end of my list.
One John Legend and the requisite Emmy.
It did. He's so close. Or was that it? I don't remember. He got it. Yeah, he got it.
No, the Oscar had to be the last one, right, for Selma.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Jesus Christ Superstar. Oh, was it? Because Selma. Yeah,
Selma came out before that, right?
Yeah, Selma's a couple years ago. Well, that's Aladdin. Enough of that. By the way, Captain Marvel, speaking of Disney, Captain Marvel, big flop at the box office, $500 million in 1 week. Tough.
Gosh darn us SJWs, which we did our part. We couldn't help it.
Love to see it.
Mm. Yeah, real shame. Next up, Star Wars title and trailer coming out on April 12th. They're the Star Wars Episode 9 panel with Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams will be on the 12th in Chicago. So, yeah, that's it. That's what's going to happen. They're going to release a trailer. They're going to release a title. It's going to be it's a good move. It's a good move on their part. Build the anticipation, build the hype. I think they need a little more goodwill. I think just giving out the trailer is not enough goodwill. I think you got to build the hype up and get people excited again. I think that's what they're going to do. So good on them for that. I think it's a good move.
Yeah. The name of the movie I'm hearing is going to be called The Exorcism of Yoda.
Your mother was a whore, she was.
Oh, no.
Hey, that's a quote from a movie, all right?
It's The Secret Life of Salacious Crumb. Salacious Crumb ripping jewel pods. Is that the next like special? If George Lucas still had the rights, do you think instead of that hookah, Jabba would be hitting a jewel?
Next
edition.
Oh yes, the scene where he gets frozen in, when Han gets frozen in carbonite, it's just like jewel smoke coming out from like the factory on Bespin. That's Cloud City, dude. Cloud City's the jewel factory.
It's the barge band playing Sicko Mode.
Let's read the tea leaves. This is when it's happening. The announcement came today. They're not going to announce the title before that. I don't see it happening. So expect it in a month. Yeah, a month. Actually, a month from yesterday. Yeah, a month from yesterday. Cool. So yeah, Star Wars. Boom. Well, more on that whenever that comes out. Triple Frontier, released on Netflix. A lot of anticipation for Triple Frontier. I have not watched it yet. Ken Jack, you watched it and you really liked it.
Yeah, enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm not giving the rating out yet because we're going to actually review it. But yeah, I liked it. It's got some hints of Sicario. I think the movie I compared it to the most, and that's because it almost feels like a shot-for-shot remake of it, is Lone Survivor, except it's got like a relatively better cast. But yeah, it's fun. It's a good time. Netflix movie, which always makes it better no matter what. And I think if you enjoy anything like military-related or like suspense-related, this movie had a ton of really good suspenseful moments for a Netflix movie, and a really good budget, which you could tell because they did not cheap out on the effects, which is very nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, two Frontiers were done very well, and then one Frontier was just okay.
That third one, you could tell where they ran out of money.
They ran out of money in that third Frontier.
We're reviewing it next week, actually. So we're going to do a Netflix review next week of it. But I mean, yeah, apparently it's good. I liked that review last night. I'm excited to watch it. Charlie Hunnam, Ben Affleck, Pedro Pascal's in it. Oscar Isaac. So good cast. Ben Affleck hitting the Netflix game. Is it better than what was that one called? What was the really shitty period piece he did?
Wait, who's Ben Affleck?
Yeah, what was it called? His like passion project?
Geely.
Not Geely. Fuck, what was it? He released it like 2 years. Live by Night.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Oh,
cut the hell out of my memory.
Stunk.
That's terrible. So bad. So yeah, that is Triple Frontier. Apparently pretty good. Let us know what you think. You can vote or rate that movie in the description below. We already have it up. I'm doing a new thing this year where I put all the March or all the monthly movies, March, April, May. I do it on the first of the month so you can go back whenever and you don't have to wait on me to put them in. They're always in the description below. Always.
Excellent.
Which, by the way, Captain Marvel, the most rated movie we've ever had. We were not at Barstool when Avengers came out, so that's probably why. But Captain Marvel is the most rated movie we've had. Tons of ratings. We'll reveal the score very soon. All right, ad read time. Ken Jack, what's the ad here? I think you're going to insert one.
Wait, sorry, I missed that. Sorry, I was sound cut out. What'd you say?
No, it didn't. You just weren't paying attention.
What's hold on,
that's
hold on,
a polite way of saying I was watching the Good Boys trailer, but you just fucked it. Keep this in. You can't cut out a good troll laugh.
All right.
I'm trying to be a polite liar, right, dick?
All right, what's the ad? What's the no edit episode major fail? What's the ad?
I think for the second one, let's do a little HelloFresh action. And you know what? Before we get to HelloFresh, how about we take a look at this cassette that we found alongside our 90s episode but never aired? So let's pop that sucker in.
Today's date is January 1st, 1999, and this is Kevin Faye, commercial track take one. It's Feige, right? Yes. That just fucking... Today's date is January 1st, 1999, and this is Kevin Feige, commercial track take one. Hi, I'm unknown producer Kevin Feige. If there is one thing I love more than running my hands through my voluminous hair, it's eating comic book themed food items. But what if you don't have time to MapQuest directions to your nearest theme restaurant? Well, I have the solution for you. Introducing my new Marvel-themed meal kit service, Marveal. That right, a meal kit service. It's a brand new way of eating with a family that I recently invented. For the low, low price of $5 a month, I will send you 20 libs. 20 pounds. Of Marvel-themed treats and goodies such as Groot Roll-Ups, Spider-Ham, Black Squiddo, Deadpool, Doki, Spotted Dick Fury, Venison, Beef Tartar Lord, Garbora, Plant Man for the Vegans, Pepper Potts, Bananas Jane Foster, Prandu, Bucky Carne Asada, Quesadilla Monker, Rocket Mushroom. To be clear, the technology does not yet exist. Does not yet exist. Sorry, this tape recorder's messing up. To freeze dry food so it will show up spoiled. You cannot sue me for this. Intake one. Time to take a break. I think I'll go watch The Phantom Menace. There's no way this could be bad.
Fantastic.
Damn. Kevin Feige. He was really at it back in 99. Before he got signed on as producer to Marvel in 2000, which is a fact I Wikipedia'd before making that skit.
I haven't seen it yet, so I assume that's great. Fantastic. HelloFresh, this episode brought to you in part by HelloFresh, makes conquering the kitchen a reality with deliciously simple recipes. They do all the meal planning, shopping, and prepping so you can focus on a healthier you and a happier family. We got a big box of it at work. Huge box of food. Packaged nicely, seasonal recipes, simple recipes, pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door every week or work. If you get delivered to work, you know, if you don't have a doorman, if you live in a city, fresh pre-measured ingredients and easy to follow 6-step pictured recipe cards. I have to make sure I said that right. They're all delivered to your door each week in a special insulated box. Very easy to follow instructions. Spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping. Fuck meal planning, right, Ken Jack? Right? Like those TikTokers, the meal prep people. Still watching the trailer?
Yeah, I'm watching the trailer, dude. Stop queuing me up while I'm trying to get ready for the news items.
We got Interactor in the HelloFresh ad. Just say fuck Hello meal Fresh. Preppers.
Yeah, fuck meal preppers. I ate some. Why didn't you queue up Trill? That was bullshit. I like the pork chops.
You're the TikTok guy. Anyway, they all come together in 30 minutes. 30
the
minutes
TikTok
back.
Guy.
call for less than two pots and pans, and it requires minimal cleanup. Three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family, with the option to switch between for when your tastes change. It's great. Dinners, lunch, 20-minute meals, gourmet, one-pot wonders. They really are all there. We got a box. We loved it. I'll speak for Ken Jack. He loved it as well. Mm-hmm. It was a blast. It was a joy. Trill has his coming. He's gonna make all the food at once. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/lights80 and enter lights80. Lights80. 80, one after 79. I mean, it's like receiving 8 free meals. It's a big deal. So, yeah, HelloFresh. Go get it. Especially if you work a lot, man. Don't have time to cook. Just do HelloFresh. Quick and simple. Hopefully they continue to advertise with us. All right, back to some more news. Man, I really hope you watch this fucking trailer. Good Boys trailer. Trailer for Good Boys. That released. It's produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. You guys know them. They make tons of funny stuff.
I like it.
Jacob Tremblay, Lil Ray Howery's in it, Will Forte, Molly Gordon. Molly Gordon from My Mom Goes to College. Bunch of people in this movie. And they're producing. Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen. Interesting trailer. A Red Band trailer. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I liked it. This had super bad like vibes with the whole coming of age type of comedy deal.
I didn't finish the trailer, but what I will say is that it's definitely sponsored by a Microsoft RT Surface tablet. And good for them, because they need to get back in the business. Since football season's been over, I haven't seen much of them. So good for them getting into mainstream media again.
I know. I agree. What were the crowds at X? Oh, I don't know how to pronounce this. SXSW. What did they?
You fucking dick.
What did they think? Sexu.
I don't know. I do know that Us is still at 100% as screenings start to roll in. But Good Boys, 50%. So five fresh, five run.
That's not the crowd for this type of movie, right? Like they're maybe it is.
It's inconsistent, but also very, very funny. Okay, that's good in my book.
EW says first reaction is to Seth Rogen's quote live action South Park. Okay, that's calling it South Park something else.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You can't think of the producers told the audience the goal was the live action South Park. Okay.
I've had too much Jacob Tremblay in my life after Predators or the Predator, whatever. I think I need a little bit of a break.
Yeah, if it's a different role, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah, as long as he's not the kid saving the day with his fucking E.T. Whatever.
I get
whatever, man. You get the joke.
Yeah, that shit was terrible. I'm still bothered by that. And that's not an offense to Jacob Tremblay, but just what an awful, awful character decision. Terrible. Moving on. This is a trailer just for Trill. Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon trailer. It's going to be a movie. This is fucking Nostalgia City, I feel like.
Yeah, but the animation's so shitty looking.
All right.
I don't like these new square-jawed turtles. I miss my big mushroom, reverse mushroom-shaped fluffy boys.
With the roomy mouth?
The roomy mouth with the wide ass cheesy grins, and then now you got these Ninja Turtles that they look really easy to draw. Let me just put it that way. I could definitely draw these Ninja Turtles.
Is that your
did you see Raphael in this trailer?
What's the difference between him and the other ones?
Raphael's got the here, I'll send you the screenshot.
With the daggers?
He's got the size, actually. Technically, their size. Look at his jaw in this one.
Yeah, it's
the one with the red sash over his
eyes.
He looks like a fucking moron.
Like, he looks like a what do you call it? A locust from Gears of War. They all do kind of.
Donatello looks like they made him skinnier to obviously signify that he's a huge nerd because whatever. Michelangelo for some reason is like 4'1", maybe because he's still a baby in this version. And then Raphael, just doesn't look right, man. It's not good.
So you're out on this.
I don't like to stop. What was wrong with the original Ninja Turtle design? Why not a certain variation? Why do we got to play around with it that much? I don't agree with that. That's what I miss. If you're going to give me nostalgia, give me the real shit. Don't give me this fake nostalgia with these Ninja Turtles.
Who do you want to win?
What?
Who do you want to win? I mean, they're obviously going to team up, but who would you want?
Batman, because these Ninja Turtles look like nerds.
I mean, is Batman himself not a nerd in some sense?
No, dude. Alfred's the nerd.
Why? Because he's the one in the, like, base camp doing all the nerd shit. I mean, but
oh, Master Wayne. Oh, I just created this batarang for you.
Thanks, Alfred. I'm about to go plow. Keep on working in the bat cave, Alfred. I wear the bat dong bags.
I like how you automatically associate him with Will Arnett, who is the best Batman, which we've discussed. See, you subliminally just fucked yourself in that argument from now on.
I don't care anymore. Now I'm mad about these Ninja Turtles that somehow look like they're characters in Abe's Odyssey for PlayStation 1 now. I don't know.
The fuck is that?
This is a deep cut. The TBDC.
All right, hold on. I'm looking it up. I just want to understand the reference. Oh, all right. All right, it makes sense.
It's
I get
TBDC it. TBDC brought to you by Udi's gluten-free cakes. Udi's.
They kind of look like the whatever Admiral Akbar's species is. Fishmen?
Yeah!
Mon Calamari? Mon Calamari. Yeah, seems a little derivative of calamari there.
This is my George Lucas voice. I think we're going to run with it.
Well, he's George has a key to everything.
What about a George Lucas live streamer?
Thanks Apex, for the dono.
Apex Legends, day one. I am dropping. I'm still dropping. Still dropping.
Him
falling dynamics. Are really
him picking between the two fucking alien heads for Dex or Jetster will always be melted into my brain. Oh, well, we'll look a little bit of this one and then maybe like the head on this one. Just like to quote our friend Mr. Sunday Movies, just pick a fucking alien head. It's the owner of a diner. Just pick one. Just move on.
Jeff, can we do a little sketch comedy here? Can you do your George Lucas voice and you're coming into my store?
Okay, all right. What's your store?
And scene. Welcome, sir. Welcome to my store.
Wait, what am I buying? You have to set it up.
And yes, come on. I'm not setting it up. I'm just playing along. Okay. We're doing some improv. Hi, sir. Welcome to my store.
Hi. How you doing?
Well, it's good to have another customer here in the latex bodysuit.
Yeah.
Store.
Sure. Just trying to see what you have.
Now tell me, is this latex bodysuit going to be pissed on?
Potentially. You know, don't reveal that.
I can't do this. All right. We're done.
Just imagine Lucas on fucking Joe Rogan. That would be a trip.
Okay, George Lucas, a legend of directing Indiana Jones, Star Wars. Now tell me, have you ever done DMT?
Have you ever done it doggy style, George Lucas? Tell me honestly. I don't think you got the leg power for it.
I don't want to say I saw a Clockwork Elf, but I don't want to say I didn't.
I haven't done DMT, but when we were in Tunisia, I ate one half of a Nutri-Grain bar and passed out.
Moving on. Army Hammer. I mentioned we'd talk about something relating to Johnny Depp. Invisible Man. The shortlist for Invisible Man. Army Hammer's on it. Alexander Skarsgård's on it.
John Cena.
Yeah, I just... Nice. I don't know. I feel like most people are over Army Hammer at this point, correct?
I don't, you know, I think he could, I don't think he's a leading man. Let me put it that way. I think he's a good secondary character. I think he's a good character actor. I think he could have a solid career, but as a leading man, I don't think he puts butts in seats.
Do you think Skarsgård does though? Because I don't think he does either.
No, I don't think he does either. I think that's why this character was originally supposed to be going to Johnny Depp.
Again, this is going to be nothing like The Hollow Man, right?
Again, really has not had great box office returns himself outside of the Pirates series. I don't know. I just think the premise of this movie is stupid, and I don't think any actor can make it interesting enough. Oh, I'm the Invisible Man. Can't see me.
Clay Aiken?
I just don't. Clay Aiken. I say this a lot, but... Who is looking for this? Who wants this?
Olds.
I'm not even going to do the rant anymore. I've done it so many times since The Dark Universe was announced and we talked about it. But again, who wants this?
Can we play If I Was Invisible to end the pod? Not really. I don't like that song that much.
What did we end it with last week? What was the remix? It was,
I don't know. I asked you to do the Pokemon song like 10 times.
I can't never do that done song. It. It's a good song.
It's a good song.
I don't think you mean that.
I posted it once and I got nothing but positive responses to it.
What if Jerry play Invisible Man?
Jerry?
Jerry get Invisible Man? What did we play the remix to last week?
I have no idea.
It was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous song.
It's dead quiet. All you hear come in the background.
It's like, it was a dubstep.
Deal with these head wraps.
It was a dubstep remix to something from the 2000s, right?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we said like, what's? I bet you could find a house remix of XYZ. I already forgot.
Yeah, me too, dude.
I'll figure it out later. Okay, so Army Hammer, Alexander Skarsgård, they might play Invisible Man. Last bit of news here. This was going to be a crazy news topic. This would have led the show, and then it was debunked 10 hours later. Bohemian Rhapsody is not going to have a sequel. Thank God. I mean, that would have been not shocking, but one of the dumbest fucking ideas possible. What more do they need to say about that? And what would they do? He didn't live much longer after Live Aid. He lived for a little while, but still, like, that was not, like, what are you going to chronicle in that time period?
You do flashbacks. They do flashbacks, maybe.
I don't think they're that creative.
Walk the Line, too. Just start talking about Johnny Cash's estate. Just be boring. I don't understand.
It was emoji heap, by the way.
I want to know how that whole rumor took off, because people bought it up.
It was like the fucking music video director was talking about it, and then it got shot down immediately because people were like, that's nonsense. And then sure enough, it was actual nonsense.
Maybe like Brian May putting out feelers.
yeah. What about a Brian May sequel? Hard pass, Brian May.
Just a guy from Liverpool trying to make a sequel.
Hello, this is not Brian May, but have you ever seen the 1988 clip Live from Monaco where Brian May and Mark Knopfler trade guitar solos? I'm thinking you should make a movie out of that one.
Full movie, full length. I don't want to talk about him anymore.
Okay, I figured you'd have another joke on that. All right, last ad read. Is this a skit?
This is from a good friend of the pod, Mo Doubt. That's something I just made up. It wasn't really supposed to be that. But Mo Doubt, please take it away.
Please drop your pants, the doctor said. So I did, and his face turned bright red. My underwear had filled him up with fright. He said, bitch, you look like Walter White. Oh, please don't make fun of my tidy whiteys. Yeah, I know that they have deep skid marks. Is this a checkup or a striptease? My face turned more red than Karl Marx. Oh, thank God for Tommy John. Underwear for both boys and girls. The most comfortable in the whole wide world. And now they have dress and undershirts. They'll help you rebound from divorce. The best part of all, we all agree, is the best pair you'll wear guarantee. For 20% off your first order's price, go to TommyJohn.com/lights. They can prevent skid marks, so please make it a goal to properly clean your butthole. Oh, thank God for Tommy John.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Mo Doubt. Once again, when men and women upgrade their tattered, outdated multi-pack underwear to Tommy John, they should do it because it's the most comfortable on the planet. Make sure you do it. And go to TommyJohn.com/lights now. You get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/lights now for 20% off your order. They have dress shirts now, too. The men, they have a no-wedgie guarantee. They have the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Very good brand. They sent us a ton. Actually, I wear it all the time. I'm wearing it right now. They sent us like five pairs. I love them.
They're very nice. Very nice underwear.
Like, we share sometimes. Like, I'll when I'm done with the pair, I'll send it. I'll just give it to Jeff when I get into work. He gets to wear it. We just trade it.
Yeah, and you stretch yours out too much, so I got to throw them in the dryer. And they fit back into the original shape. They're great.
Exactly. And you get to take a look at my skid marks, add your own. It's like a it's like a cast for poop.
I just turned them inside out.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
boy.
Give me those seams. Oh, wait. Tommy John doesn't have seams.
Tommy John's great.
Mm. Owned.
Captain Marvel.
Yes.
That's the last Marvel movie you reviewed. It was a while ago because it was in the summer. It was Ant-Man and the Wasp. Captain Marvel came out a week ago, the last movie before Avengers Endgame, introducing an incredibly important and strong character. This is a spoiler review. I'm sorry. First of all, it's made $500 million. You've probably seen it by now if you're listening to this. It's a hard movie to talk about without bringing up spoilers because there's a couple twists. So we'll say scores real quick. I landed at the end with an 83. Trill, what'd you give it?
I gave it an 80.
Ken Jack, what'd you give it?
Went down to an 82.
Okay. Audience gave it an 82. So very similar scores per usual. Captain Marvel.
Officially buttered.
Brand new character. Takes place in the 90s. A lot of great actors in it. Samuel Jackson, Jude Law, Ben Mendelsohn, to name a few. Lashana Lynch, she played Maria Rambo. Great new character of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Lots of great people in this movie. It was fun. Annette Bening. Fun time. Some flaws. Lots of twists. If you haven't seen it, go see it. And then listen to this review. But if you don't want anything spoiled, I would skip ahead right here.
To avoid spoilers for Captain Marvel, skip to 111:42. A little guy's grocery games rant for you right here. I'm tired of the 3-2-1 go antics from Guy. They're just not funny. His kid is there on a Segway, and he didn't laugh. And if you're not going to laugh at your own dad's jokes, the gig is up. It's time to do a different joke, Guy. And also, if you come on the show and you fall for the 3-2-1 thing, you stink. You're terrible because it's the most obvious thing here. He does it every episode. How do you fall for that? This frustrates me. I'm going to need to sharpen up my cooking skills and go on this show and just dominate. Okay, here's our Captain Marvel review.
All right, Captain Marvel. Very important movie in the MCU. I thought the good in this movie was very good, and the flaws were kind of a drag. And I will say most of the flaws came in the first third of this movie. It was a rocky start, and I just don't think we were used to an origin story in the MCU. We haven't had one in a long time, and I think it just felt different. Like, there was a different feeling, at least at the beginning of the movie, compared to some of the past we've had. Because the past movies we've had are very different. Ant-Man and the Wasp, sequel. Avengers Infinity War. I mean, that explains itself. Black Panther, origin story. Only sort of, because you already met the character in Civil War. You already learned the early part of him because you met his father. You saw his father's death. Thor Ragnarok, sequel. Spider-Man Homecoming, same thing. You met him in Civil War. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume, and they cut all the bullshit out. They just went right into Spider-Man. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, sequel, and then before that, Doctor Strange. So it's been 3 years since our last true origin story, and I think it showed.
Well, I think Black Panther, I'll consider Black Panther a true origin story, but it was handled a lot better than this was.
Yeah, but again, do you agree on that? Is that the introductory stuff, understanding the character and the concept, was handled in Civil War.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I get it. This was a true origin story, though. I mean, this was a definition of an origin story movie through and through. And it suffered because of that. And they needed to do it. But like Jeff was saying, we're not used to seeing it. And gosh, just that pacing and drawing it out. And my big thing was like, you got to see her whip ass at the end, but that was the big payoff. And you had to wait 2 hours to get there.
I think part of the problem I had with Brie Larson's, I would say, performance, like when she was funny, she was great. But when she got used as a tool for exposition as part of it being an origin story, that's where she sort of struggled. Where, like, where, who, show me a person where that's easy, right? So I don't blame that on her, but it's like you said, Jeff, it's just that that exposition and that origin story end of it really did kind of hurt the movie a little bit.
It's the Thor problem. And it's the Captain America to a lesser extent, because Chris Evans played a pretty serious character. And Thor is serious at times, but Thor changed a bit in Avengers compared to the first Thor. And that's where you're like, ooh, Chris Hemsworth, Thor, this is intriguing. And then from that, Dark World, not great. But you began to see the character evolve into something more enjoyable, more fun, more personality. And then Ragnarok took it to a whole different level. And he was great in Infinity War. And I think that's my thing with the Captain Marvel. Just speaking of character, the Captain Marvel character, I think you nailed it, Ken Jack, is that when we're beyond this exposition nonsense and she's just integrated and just being her fun 90s character, I think it's going to be enjoyable, or more enjoyable, because when we got into that stuff in this movie, it was great and she fit perfectly. And like the lighthearted stuff, her chemistry with Sam Jackson, Nick Fury, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. They worked so well together. You'd have think they'd been in multiple Marvel movies together. Though I will note, he hasn't been getting a lot of praise. I think because it's just Nick Fury and people are like, oh, we've seen him before. He had great chemistry with everyone. The Maria Rambeau character, Carol Danvers, and Talos, so we will get into Ben Mendo in a second, because this is like the biggest win for Ben Mendo stands in the world. But I think that's the biggest point to drive home with the character, is when she was allowed to have fun and like breathe with the character, it was great. But then pushing the plot along and pushing the character's story and the origin along, it just felt clunky. The first third of the movie was tough, but in the middle, it does kick in. As they begin to be more on Earth, it begins to kick in and you get a much better feel of the movie.
When the big twist in the house happens, that's when the movie gets a lot more interesting.
Yes, yeah, so obviously the big twist is that the Skrulls are not the villains. Talos, played by Ben Mendelsohn, I wouldn't call him – he's – what do they call a villain who's also a hero? Anti-hero.
Anti-hero.
Excuse me. He's still a bit of an anti-hero. I mean, you know, lots of murder of Krees and stuff. And they're fighting a war that I'm not totally sure the humans want to be on sidewise, because they were still wrecked. Yeah. This is fucking MacGuffin. They fuck. They still, you know, are part of a war where they're kind of aimlessly killing and all that. So I don't want to count the Skrulls totally as protagonists or on the good side quite yet. But he was great when he shows up in the house drinking a fucking milkshake. He's wearing like the sport coat, making the jokes about his science guy and stuff. Great. It was just fantastic. There was personality with Ben Mendelsohn. They gave him a script where he could, again, breathe as an actor and not just shout bad guy lines. Like, Parzival. Get Parzival. Like, oh my God. Like Ready Player One. He just had it was just cue cards. Yell that, character though. Names.
I love that. He was the perfect 80s villain.
I do see what you're saying, though. I do want to be fair in that. Because I did get some people fire back. They're like, you don't like Mendo? I'm like, no, I like Mendo. I just don't think he's had a lot of great things to work with recently. Because when he does have stuff, like he's in Bloodline, he's fucking great. That's Mendo at his best. And like Robin Hood's another one. And I thought he was good in Rogue One, but even then, they didn't really expand his role. He was just bad, Mr. Bad Guy. It was Death Star Bad Guy. But this one, he was fantastic. Just so good as Talos and the standout of the movie, I think, hands down.
I really liked how his character switched from being very menacing, because I didn't know the twist at all. I wasn't paying attention to the twist or the potential twist or what was going to happen. And, you know, I love to spoil movies in advance, and I didn't do it in this one. So it kind of caught me by surprise, and what seemed obvious maybe to a lot of people wasn't to me. But it was really fun watching him go from a menacing character to – more of a lighthearted, kind of funny guy, like comic relief in the second half of the movie. I really enjoyed that. You got to see his range in that one, because I was really, you know the scene from the trailer where they're showing up on the beach looking all like menacing and shit. Keep using that word. They do the shape shifting. You thought, okay, these are some bad guys, and then they turn out to be okay, or maybe some of them are okay. At least we know that Ben Mendo's okay.
Yeah, I thought he brought a ton of levity to the movie, which was sorely needed at some points. So like you said, Trill, in the beginning, he's sort of scary. He's adding like that fear element to it. He's the go-to antagonist, and all of a sudden he sort of shifts, and he's a funny guy. The scenes in the house, like you're talking about, after their truce or whatever is established, are hilarious. Like, you're my science guy. That part was so hilarious. Like, that was his whole exchange with the second in command. I thought he was great, and definitely he stole the show a little bit for me. I was expecting, like you guys both mentioned, him to be his just kind of typecast villain where they're like, all right, just go out there and do your damn thing, Mendelsohn. But in this one, he got a little bit of a three-dimensional aspect, which you always love to see.
And that, I mean, that really goes to show, I think the key to the formula for these movies, and this is not an obvious statement, but it's more apparent in the success of the Avengers movie or the ensemble cast movies is, yeah, like Brie Larson was great as Captain Marvel. And yeah, you know, Hemsworth is great as Thor and we love Evans as Captain America, but they're only as good as their supporting cast in these movies and they're who they're given to play off of. Like that's what really makes or breaks it. And so in a movie like Black Panther, something I enjoyed a little more than this, I thought there was a stronger cast of characters for them to play off of than there was in Captain Marvel. I'm sorry, I should say. So Mindo was great. Rambo was great. And then aside from that, the big standout was a CGI cat, semi-CGI, kind of not CGI cat. So I did think like Brie Larson did a great job, but Sam Jackson as well, Nick Fury. I think maybe they could have had more going on in this movie with other characters. And a lot was wasted on the, I thought a lot was wasted on the Annette Bening character who like ultimately didn't provide a lot to the story other than just being another villainish type role.
Yeah. I think overstuffed is a good word. I think Talos, perfect. Great twist. Like really good twist. I personally didn't see coming. I liked the character a lot. One of my favorite characters in the MCU, like ever out of 22 movies. But I thought Annette Bening, you had Ronan the Accuser, played by Lee Pace, who returns from Guardians of the Galaxy. And then you have Jude Law's character, who I didn't love. And Annette Bening was fine in her role. I love Lee Pace as Ronan, just didn't get a lot of him. I thought, I understand Marvel and how that works, and I get why that needs to be there. I think you bump out someone like Jude Law, you bump out Yon Rugg, and maybe you just make it Ronan or you take out Ronan. I thought that area was just a little too messy. And that was my other big thing. It was the first third, and then it was the handling of that villain subplot. I think it got a little too convoluted because you do need the fake out villain in order to make Talos work. But I think there was one too many villains where it got complicated. Because I do understand the Marvel thing. Like you have to include that. It's part of the origin.
Right.
But I do think it got a little jumbled. Like, again, lovely pace. I love the end scene where she's going blowing shit up in space. But, you know, I'll boil it down to Jude Law's character, Yon Rugg, and Ronan the Accuser. You got to find a way to make that work better because I just didn't think – I think that was my biggest issue villain-wise.
So I think I will – like if they would have found a way to like – I don't know how you can make Annette Bening's character work instead of Jude Law's character. But I preferred her over Jude Law. I didn't think Jude Law offered a lot in this movie.
No, I thought he was kind of – waste. Like there was nothing. It was kind of funny at the end. Kenjack, I think you had a good take. He was just exposition yelly guy as well. He was kind of, he actually reminded me of what role of what Ben Mendelsohn usually plays. Like put down
your emotions.
Yeah. It's like, he kind of was the Ben Mendo's usual role in this movie.
Yeah. It's him sitting there and going like, hey, Captain Marvel, or what do they call her?
Carol,
yeah, like, hey, Veers, whatever. They're like, hey, Veers, remember when you landed on this planet and I gave you all my blood? That's something that happened in the history, which we're not going to show you, but now you know because I said it out loud. Like, it's just him explaining exposition to her as a way to give it to us, which it made me dislike his character probably more than he deserved. But it's like you guys said, like, he was there to serve the plot, and he did that, but not much else for me. Although I did like his team or whatever, Jimma Chan, Rune Temptu, who I enjoyed a decent amount. I like them. Blue guy with the giant beard.
Yeah, and then you had what's his face returning as his
Imogen character Hansu.
Yeah, as Korath, who was in Guardians as well. He was a henchman for good boy Ronan the Accuser.
So. We're gonna see him again, and we just saw him in Aquaman. We're just about to see him again in Shazam.
Yeah, just in everything. Every fucking movie. I don't know if there's too much more to say on it. Well, I guess something else that stuck out to you, something that you liked. I thought I loved a lot of the 90s stuff. I thought it was funny. I actually said this in my review. This is what I'm going to talk about. I thought everything landed joke-wise. I actually liked every joke that was made. I didn't think it felt forced. I thought the 90s references, they were very there. They were very wink-wink. But they were written into the script in a way where it wasn't too obnoxious. And too Easter eggy. I thought it was just, it was part of the movie. It was part of, you know, space people, cosmic people, and I love the cosmic aspect of this movie, coming down to Earth and dealing with the 1990s. So I like that. I don't think it's as funny as Ragnarok or Guardians, but I think it's more consistent. The laughs are bigger in those movies, but I thought the jokes were consistently written, which, massive Marvel fan, that's always their biggest weakness. They have sometimes one too many jokes that cut into the tension. But I thought they played it perfectly here. And it also lends credence to the fact that they got to keep going into the cosmic realm, because I think the cosmic angle opens up more possibilities for scripts, for how they make jokes, for how they go about dialogue. Like, it really does open up more for them rather than just being Earth-based.
Yeah, all the 90s stuff was good. The music was pretty good. I'm Just a Girl, No Doubt, was thrown in there. It was pretty fun at the end. And then what was it? A Garbage or Hole was played. Maybe both. I don't know. All the music references were good. The best 90s reference was the Mallrats script being read by Stan Lee on the train.
That was
pretty good.
That was so good.
And Kevin Smith posted an Instagram selfie of himself crying because it touched him so much. It's cool.
Yeah, I don't want to get this wrong, but I think they had to double over some lines. I know he was sick when they recorded it, but that was very cool. And it was actually kind of like an intentional fourth wall break where she looked and smiled at him. I thought that was actually awesome. Like, that's one of those things that may not age well over years, but in the moment for what it was, I thought it was great. And I also thought the logo in the beginning of the movie being all Stan Lee was awesome. That was a really cool, unexpected tribute. Perfect way to do it. Seamless, because you know that's something he would have loved. It goes right into the movie. You see him, boom, perfect tribute. Anything else that you loved, Ken Jeoctro, before we have to talk about one big thing, the mid-credit scene and how it connects to the next movie. But before we wrap up on specifically Captain Marvel.
I thought the cat was okay. People were freaking out about the cat.
I like the
concept of a cat with the endless belly void, but the tentacles creep me out, man. Tentacles just creep me the fuck out.
You seem like a guy that would love tentacles, and in the sick way.
Are you trying to imply that I'm a hentai otaku?
Yes, I am.
No, no, sir. Not for
your
me,
silence
sir.
Is deafening, sir. Sir,
sir. That's the next, like, at the debates, like, Beto is going to be like accusing Biden of like being an otaku. Sir, no, you are the otaku. You watch 20 hours of anime a week. No, sir, you are the otaku.
But I guess to wrap it up, I just liked it. I think the climax in particular for this one, the action sequence, is one of the better ones in the MCU. Her final fight versus the invading forces of the Kree or whatever. I liked it quite a bit. I think if you're out there and you haven't seen it because you're afraid you saw something on the incel boards about how the SJWs are trying to force you to watch this, they're not. It's a good movie. Go watch it.
The one thing though is like her powers were so cool at the end. Like, I hated the fact that we had to watch 110 minutes of movie to get to that. And that's the downfall and shitty part of an origin story, but it's a good segue into the mid-credit scene, Jeff.
She's also, I will say this, I know I mentioned how well they set it up with Black Panther and Spider-Man with Civil War. She's not one where that's possible. She's too fucking powerful. So I get why they had to do this. So it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I hope that, or a rock in a hard place, whichever one makes more sense there. You decide.
I get it. I want to see more, but that's how they get you. So they get you drawn in.
All right. So arrest me if you want to, Disney, but I filmed the post-credit scene the second time I saw it. That's how fucking awesome it was. Bold move. It's definitely a clip from the movie, but you see the pager. If you didn't stick around for it, you see the Captain Marvel pager from the post-credit scene of Infinity War that she gets in the movie and Sam Jackson calls because Nick Fury was told not unless there's an emergency. And she meant emergency, emergency. And you know what? The Avengers have always had a good time handling it. They've always been able to do it. And this one was too much of an emergency. Half the world's dying. People are fucking turning into dust. So you see that go off. And then you see Cap. Then you see Natasha Romanoff. And then you see Rhodey. And then you see Bruce Banner. And they're talking about the power shut off on the pager. And then Natasha Romanoff, she says, I want to know what's on the other end. Turns around and boom, there's Carol Danvers saying, where's Fury? And it's, oh man, our theater fucking lost it on our second viewing. It was nuts. It was like a fucking touchdown. It was like a homer, a fucking dunk. It was like a sporting event. It was nuts. And it was awesome because it just gets you more hyped for Avengers Endgame. If that's what that one little clip's going to be, like, imagine that whole movie. I think some people were kind of mad that they showed the reveal of her meeting the Avengers already. But you know what? It wasn't full. It wasn't complete. They did something similar to this back at the end of Ant-Man. They should have seen from Civil War when they finally go find Bucky and he's chained to that whatever that thing is, that the metal thing, whatever. But they've done this before, and I liked it.
But the like in the actual movie of Endgame, the reveal of Captain Marvel would not be that big of a thing.
No, like, not at all.
There's an entire cast of characters who I think like we like more. Like,
yeah,
I like Captain Marvel, but she's not my favorite Marvel character. So like, I get what they're saying, but it's like in the scope of that movie, I think it fits in perfectly because like it's not her movie anymore.
I mean,
it's the Avengers movie.
Thor met the Guardians in a trailer and that was just fine.
Yeah.
So like, you know, she's going to be there and there's going to be plenty more surprises along the way. So I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was my favorite mid or post credit scene. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, but it was awesome. It just the context of with that movie. Oh, and I want to say one more thing. I have to admit it, full shill fanboy status. But at the end of the movie, when Nick Fury has the Protector Initiative on his screen, and then he sees Avenger on the side of Carol Danvers' fighter jet, and then you see him delete Protector and type Avenger, and the Avenger music plays, fucking teared up.
How do you do that but not the solo part? What's the tangible difference there?
What do you mean?
Where it's like, oh, no one's there, huh? Gonna call you Solo.
Solo was such an in-your-face turn to the camera.
How is that not moment. In your face?
Because that's just an origin part of it, and it's natural. There was no reason to call him. There was like, it was unnecessary.
It was not natural. He looked at a plane and he's like, that plane says Avenger. I'm going to call you guys the Avengers. That was like just as ham-fisted.
I liked it just as much. I don't think it was anywhere near as ham-fisted because they had set it up from the first movie, Avenger Initiative, and they haven't explained why. And they set it up
at the beginning, Solo is Solo.
Yeah, but that was beyond ham-fisted. Was this a necessary thing? No, it was definitely an Easter egg, but that one was so wink-wink.
I disagree. I'm not defending anymore because we both disagree.
It's fair. Anyway, I loved it. It was naturally awesome and a great way to end that fucking movie and roll into the mid-credit, which was great. And again, maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, but I thought that was the best one.
How much did I call the hairball part?
You did call that.
Immediately said it. I was like, that's going to be the post-credit.
And you didn't read any spoilers on that, right?
No.
It was fun. Wasn't amazing. Middle of the road Marvel movie, but you know what? It wet the palate. The end credit scene was great, or the mid credit scene, and I don't really need another trailer. I don't need any other tease. That was as good of a tease as I could get for Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, I'm thinking about the perfect follow-up to this review, and you know what I think that is? I think that's the Captain Draft. That's right, folks. A 9-round draft where we each pick a famous captain to have on our captain team. What do you think about that, Ken Jack?
That'll be great. After this interview with John Turturro...
Oh, God, I screwed up the transition. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, the forums are going to get on me for this one.
Ben Jack and I sat down John Turturro in a hotel. That was cool. That was different. Didn't have to go into our studio, which is definitely not crappy, overcrowded, and always dirty. And we talked about his most recent movie, Gloria Bell, which is very good. So, yeah, here's our interview with John Turturro.
We have the absolute pleasure of sitting down with the one and only John Turturro. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I noticed both you guys have beards, and now that I don't have a beard, you know.
Your second interview today to mention our beards.
Right.
People confuse us sometimes.
Really?
A little bit.
I have a beard in this movie, Gloria Bell, and this miniseries that will be coming out on AFC. The Name of the Rose. I have a big beard and, you know, almost no hair because I play a Franciscan. So I've had lots of beards, but my barber, my haircutter, Anthony, said men of a certain age shouldn't have beards. Mm. I was like, really? Why? I said, I kind of like having my beard, but anyway.
What age did he give you for that?
He didn't. Probably after 50 or something. You know, he was like, they shouldn't have beards after a while. Yeah, he's a philosopher. So he's not always right.
Franciscans, yeah.
But you know, you guy who cuts your hair, you rely on for advice.
I get my hair cut once a week. So
you do.
Yeah. Okay, my barber is probably 6 years younger than me, though.
Okay, but he lives close to you, right?
Yeah.
See, my guy is like retired, and he has to come into this. If that, I would get my, yeah. So, okay. So yeah. You're both kind of like, you're not hipsters, are you?
Oh, no.
Sir.
Okay. No, definitely not. Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, we're not in Brooklyn, so we're right, not.
Okay. Definitely not. We're not Williamsburg people.
Not RT.
Wow, that's
you're
really
the
funny.
The comes in here with an artisanal hot chocolate in a tiny cup. Maybe you're the hipster here, sir.
I'm the original hipster.
So you mentioned Gloria Bell. A wonderful movie, getting tons of praise. When we talk about movies with whoever we interview, we like reading the synopsis, and you correct us if this is wrong from the internet.
Right. Okay.
The internet, obviously, not always right. Gloria, played by the wonderful Julianne Moore, is a free-spirited divorcee who spends her days at a straight-laced office job and her nights on the dance floor, joyfully letting loose at clubs around Los Angeles. After meeting Arnold, you, on a night out, she finds herself thrust into an unexpected new romance filled with both the joys of budding love and complications of dating, identity, and family.
Yeah, yeah. It's about, you know, people sort of connecting in the middle of their lives, you know. One person who's a divorcee for a long time and another person who's going through the process of it but is having a hard time disengaging himself from a dysfunctional relationship with his wife and his children who are not that functional. So, but the movie really focuses on her journey, and he's a big part of that. So, but I saw the original film that was made, and it was wonderful. And when they decided to remake it, I was like, I don't know why you're remaking it, but the guy wanted to do it with Sebastian Lillo. He wanted to do it with Julianne, and they both asked me, and I thought, you know, sometimes you do something to work with the people. It's more even than the role. And then it turned out to be a really a creative experience. And you never know that, you know, but she's great and great teammate. You know, there are people who are ball hogs and there are people who pass the ball back and forth. And that's what's fun when you do that. And that's what's interesting. And in friendships and relationships and in acting, you know, it's that's a nice thing.
Yeah, I loved your guys' chemistry a lot, and I thought that for somebody who, like, my parents divorced later in life in their 50s, and I felt that
it
felt very authentic, watching the way you guys went through your relationship, the honeymoon period when you meet new people, the way you interact with, like, the ex-spouses and everything like that. Right. I found it all felt very real, and none of it felt forced, and I enjoyed your guys' chemistry tremendously.
Oh, thank you. That's interesting from your perspective. So, you know, when people meet at a certain age, they have a lot of their they have more of a past with them. They have more baggage or whatever he's saying. They have more life that they bring with them. And you either can embrace that or not. But I think Sebastian, he's like a little scientist. I use the word Chekhovian, like, you know, based on Chekhov, because people can be saying simple things, but their behavior can be completely contrary, you know. And there can be an inherent contradiction into all kinds of, you know, what people say and what people do. And I think that, you know, it's hard to try new things and to attempt new things. So much of life has to do with failure, not just success. Everyone always thinks, well, you were successful. A lot of it has to do with failure and how you respond to failure. And, you know, great writers talk about that. And, you know, you try again, you fail better, try again, like Beckett says. And, you know, it's life is full of that. It's not just, you know, and what does success, you know, mean? You know, so this is real about, you know, trying to enjoy your life and trying to be able to connect with another person. So that's good. I mean, he's a real student of human behavior. Mm-hmm. And human behavior is endlessly fascinating. You know, when you're young, there's that behavior and it continues. It doesn't stop, you know.
You talk about success. This movie right now is sitting at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I know my son, you know, reads Rotten Tomatoes. Uh-huh. So yeah.
Does that mean anything to you? For a movie to be at that mark right now, and especially with the amount of reviews it has, which is a qualifying of high praise.
Well, you know, I've always tried never to listen to critics too much, because if you did, you could be really crippled by it. So I always think when people say, "Oh, they really like something," you just go, "Phew. Yeah, you know, that's good. I didn't have to bite the bullet on that one or whatever." But I've been on both sides of that coin. and sometimes something that you really love and that's really challenging, and it's split sometimes. But that could be good too, you know. But I've been into movies that people talk about now as if they're such great movies, and there was no Rotten Tomatoes then, for example. Yeah. But, you know, I doubt that The Big Lebowski would have gotten 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I'm not talking about that.
But I'm just saying, when it came out, a lot of people didn't understand it. So, but so it's good. I'm always grateful for that, but it doesn't mean, I don't let it mean certain things to me, because if I think something is good, I think it's good. And if someone is supportive of that, great. You know, I've seen lots of movies, they win all these awards and no one ever talks about them ever again.
Yeah.
And then there are other movies that people never stop talking about. So time will tell.
Well, let's talk. You mentioned Big Lebowski. Big Lebowski, 20 years last year, right? That was a 20-year anniversary, I think. And you mentioned that if Rotten Tomatoes had been around, maybe people might not have understood it or liked it. I feel like it's the definition of a cult classic at this point. Like, maybe transcending cult classic because it's so popular.
It's become kind of like the zeitgeist. It's sort of a philosophy. And, you know, I was just saying to someone before, because people always talk about, oh, this guy won this award and this one award. And I was saying, okay, well, Julianne won an Academy Award, but does that mean that's the best role that she ever played?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was with Julianne on the show. I said, maybe not. You know what I mean? Maybe not. I said, you know, basically, you know, Jeff Bridges, you know, he won zero awards for The Dude, but that's like, when I first saw it, I said, I know this is a great performance. I don't get everything in the movie at the time. I didn't, even though, because it was based on these characters, you know, that they knew, Joel and Ethan, and my character was based on someone I knew and I had done in a play. But you think about how good that is, and it's just, you know, that's what the people, they tell the story when people know all the lines or something, when people, you know, there's something about it that is liberating, because all of us, in some way, you know, like when you get sick, you have your bathrobe on, you know, you want to go to the supermarket, you know, in your slippers, you know what I mean? I mean, that you really can't function that way, but it's just, there's just something beautiful. I mean, Johnny is great too. He's great, Goodman. But there's something beautiful about Jeff's performance. And I just think there's a reason why. So time will tell.
It's funny because there was that Super Bowl commercial that he was in this past year.
Yeah, I didn't see that because I was in Italy, so yeah.
I mean, not to sound like a smart person, but I knew what it was pretty quick. It's like, all right, this is a Super Bowl commercial. But it did the thing where it tricked people. Like, is there a Big Lebowski sequel? And people like tripping over their desk just to see what it was. So.
No, there isn't a sequel, but there will be, you will see the Jesus again.
Oh, that would be, that's fantastic tease.
It's in the can.
Oh, I like that. That's great to hear.
It's not the Big Lebowski, but
yeah,
you'll see him again.
We like that. When did you know, though, that it was starting to pick up popularity?
Years later, I went with my oldest son, Amadeo, because there was starting to be these festivals and things.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed the movie when it came out, and I went to see it at BAM. And I think maybe he was 10, and people were, they knew the movie. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, and then I realized, wow, this is pretty good. This is really funny. I said, I didn't get everything before. And that's true of a lot of their movies, movies. Mm-hmm. They, sometimes just, you know, whatever. That's when I knew. And he said, I want to go see it. And he was laughing. He was 10 years old. And I was like, wow, this is, then I've seen it a couple of times and it's really, you know. And my younger son loves it, you know, and he just, you know, he always quotes The Dude to me, you know, when I tell him, really? You better do this, he goes, well, that's just your opinion, man. You know what I mean? You know, it's just your opinion.
That's amazing.
You know, it's like, there were so many lines, they're just, but it's kind of philosophical. It's like a philosophical comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why. So I love things that have a lot of, you know, contradiction, but I think, you know, you can do a drama, and when there's black humor, that always is great because it gives you there's relief in it. So you can laugh and then you can feel. But sometimes comedies, and that's more of a comedy, that movie, but that kind of comedy is the hardest things to sustain. You could sustain it for 30 minutes, maybe, without it being sentimental, without it being, you know, also romantic. Everything works out in the end, and that you can see seven steps ahead, and that you don't see any steps ahead. I mean, Donnie dies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I want to talk about a tentpole franchise. You're in a massive, massive tentpole franchise in Transformers.
Right. I never did one of those until I did Transformers. I turned down every single one.
What were some of the offers you got?
Many years. I don't want to name all the movies, but like Men in Black is one of them or whatever. Ooh. But I turned all of them down. And people thought I was they called me a specialty item.
Interesting.
And all the people who did that, so maybe a lot of those people aren't working right now. And I did, like, I worked with great directors. And I still work with great directors. And I also learned a lot of things. So why would I not do a Primo Levi film with a master director that Martin Scorsese introduced and do a franchise? I never did it until they offered me Transformers, and my older son Amadeo said, "Just do it. Don't read it. Just do it." You know, and you know, I had a good time doing it. And I just thought, listen, I have to be able to entertain the adults in the movie when they bring their kids. And I basically, you know, I based my character on Michael Bay, you know, because he's, that's why I based it. I did. I was like, and I had fun doing it. I had fun. It was exhausting. The second one, I think I got to do more things than the first one. But I like Michael, you know, but his sensibility is not mine, you know, but, you know, it's just too many explosions for me. But but I didn't go into it looking down on it. But I don't think it's like if you're a painter, and then you also do things, you know, you also make etchings or drawings. Mm. It's more of a sketch, you know, a filled-in sketch, you know, or if I'm a plumber, that's my electrical job, you know, not to put down electricians, but it's not where I live. So it's good to do, and I enjoy doing it, and people seem to like it, but, you know, you're doing something it has to work on a different kind of level. There's not like, it's not multi-dimensional. I mean, Michael Bay would yell at me. He said, "This is serious. It's serious." And I was dying laughing, you know, the whole time. It's like, what? They're fucking, you know, they're robots. Yeah. Matter of fact, I did something that I tortured him once. I got all the original toys and I told the prop man, and I pulled it out in a scene and I flipped it. You know, I transformed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was based on a toy, right? It was a toy. And then he said, and I was like, they said it was a toy. You know, it was crazy. I said, but now we know, you know, now we know different, you know. And he was like, "You can't do that in the movie." I said, "No, it's like an advertisement for the toy." I said, "It was a toy."
As we were like that.
So then I had every single one, and I kept doing it. Of course, he cut it out. But I remember Shia was on the floor dying laughing. I would pull out it like a truck, transform it, you know, out of my pocket.
That's
as
amazing.
If I was carrying it with me. But I thought it was a great homage. But they let me do, you know. I mean, I basically improvised like half of my part or more, you know, than...
Really?
But,
that's incredible. Yeah.
I'm just not... I don't really care if I have 2 million people, you know, or like, no, 50 million people see something, or if I have 1 million people see something. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, you want people to see it, but... That's not why I wanted to be an actor or a director. Or I, the movies that I liked were really like complicated, adult, even really funny movies like Preston Sturges or, you know, I like to laugh too. But I like things that have both in it. I like things that have both in it. And I've done a lot of, you know, great plays and theater, and that should have both in it too. So that's where I really live. But I don't look down on it. I think it's hard to do those things. It is. And it's very physical and stuff. So
something really topical right now, definitely want to discuss, is I don't know how tuned in you are. Have you seen the Netflix stuff? Steven Spielberg's talked about it.
Yeah, but Steven Spielberg is... Yeah, I mean, he's in a very rarefied position to talk about it. I mean, a lot of directors are looking to have their films financed. I love going to see movies. I agree with... I don't know what he said, actually. I didn't read it, but I know that he feels they shouldn't be, you know...
Streaming
for the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole thing. The Oscars, it's like... To me, the Oscars are not the movie business.
Yeah.
That's an award that's given to something. So that has to be put into perspective also. I think it used to be a 90-day window. But a lot of big directors are going... to Netflix because they're getting the financing.
Scorsese.
And people are seeing their films.
Yeah.
So if you don't, you know, he, I think, has always gone through the studio route. So he's, you know, he's, you say Spielberg, it's, he's in, basically there's one guy. That's it, you know. Most directors have to go and get the money, you know, or cobble it together. So without the money, you can't make a movie.
Yeah.
And there's different ways people are seeing things. So I think things are changing. I hope the movie experience continues. I hope, you know, Netflix maybe enlarges that, you know, when they do that. But they did do Roma, which was an amazing film. And I went to see it twice in the movie theater. Once with my Academy card and once I paid for it. But so I'm really happy they made that movie. I don't know who would have made that movie. So I don't want to come across that I know.
Yes, that's correct. Alfonso said, like, who would have seen this movie if this was just in theaters?
That's right. And so I think he has a point of view. And everyone has, you know, to quote the great film director Jean Renoir, everyone has their reasons. You know, and that's the terrible thing about life, you know. So I don't know. I still want to be able to see films, you know. But let me say one thing, that these big blockbuster films that came out in the 70s and stuff, they also ghettoized serious movies. Mm-hmm. When I was younger and a serious movie came out, you know, I waited online to see it. You know, it wasn't just, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which I never waited online to see. So I saw it, but, you know, I didn't wait online to see it. But so I think movies used to be in the cultural conversation, in the water cooler conversation. Yeah. And now TV has replaced movies.
Big time, yep.
That's what people talk about. When I did Night Of, everybody was talking about it.
Well, you were trending on Twitter. You're all over the place.
You know, I mean, that was in the... maybe because they wanted to know who the murderer was, but I think it was more than that.
Yeah.
They were seeing a city and a cult reflected in all its diversity. So I think people are doing more challenging things that way. It's very hard to do a serious film. So if someone's going to give you money to do it and you guys are going to watch it,
yeah,
you know, you have a choice to go, hopefully, you know. I mean, the Coen brothers work with Netflix.
Yeah.
Buster Scruggs.
And it was it, just like Roma and what The Irishman will be for Scorsese. It was in theaters for a little bit.
It was for a little bit.
Yeah.
But Roma's was, you know, I think Scorsese is going to have a bigger release than that. But they got to make their movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they would be an interesting person to ask, people to ask that question to. With a movie about an indigenous woman who's a maid.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's a big story on class.
I mean, I found the movie really, I'm not moved that way. And I was deeply, deeply moved.
Did you want to ask him the best picture question? Are you an Academy
voter? Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you who I voted for.
We were hoping to get
I just told you that I really liked Roma, so that could
Was there anything else that stuck out in 2018 for you?
I liked Black Klansman a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked Cold War. Capernaum, I liked. I liked The Star Is Born.
Well, there's a connection to Big Lebowski. Sam Elliott was great.
True. Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott, right. Right, my man. I liked this Italian movie, Felice Lazzaro. I liked Eighth Grade. You know, but I thought there were a lot of really great foreign films this year, I have to say.
Strong contention,
really.
You mentioned
I thought that was a really... Every film in there, Burning, this Korean film, Shoplifters, you know, really strong. So, yeah.
Well, you got a great project, Gloria Bell, opening March 8th, which is... Is that Friday? Wow.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
It's already flying by.
It's flying by.
Jesus. But it is great. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks a lot. You guys are excellent.
Thanks for not killing us for asking about Best Pictures.
No, everyone asked you. Well, I don't think we're supposed to say, well, here's what I voted for or whatever, but hey, you know.
You come knocking on our door, you're like, you got my Academy card taken away.
Yeah. I can't tell you whatever. I just tell you what I liked. That's it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
Big thanks to John Turturro. A lot of fun. Drinking a fucking artisanal hot chocolate the whole time, just stunting on us. Dressed to the nines, Kenjack and I looking...
Was he wearing a turtleneck?
Sure, dumpy. No, he's wearing a...
Suit?
A button? We have a fucking picture. I guess I could just look at the picture. But no, he was wearing a very nice suit. He looked good. He was very welcoming and a very nice man.
and as you heard in the interview, refused to tell us who he voted on for the Oscars. I mean, like, almost didn't even get the question out of my mouth. He's just like, no, I'm not telling you. You know, I respect that. One day someone's going to crack, and then they're going to come and kill us because they're going to have their voter card taken away. But regardless, fun stuff from John Turturro. We had a real good time. All right, Trill, let's redo what you were going to do. Try it again.
Folks, all right, it's time for that thing you all know and love. We had the idea last week to do a draft, and we said, what are we going to draft? We got Captain Marvel, so we might as well go into famous captains. Famous captain draft, Jeff. All the captains you love throughout the years are all eligible as long as they're a captain for this draft.
Yeah, real people named captain, real captains, fictional captains. So anyone's there. The lottery is ready to go. Going to pick a random name. Ooh, the audience gets the first pick. This website is really not happy. I've not whitelisted them from a fucking ad blocker, but you know what? We move on. Anyway, there's the order. Audience, myself, Trill, Kenjek, you can snake and get second pick in the second or first pick in the second round. So five rounds. Audience has the first pick. So good for them. I think they had the last pick in the last time we did this. They get Captain America. I mean, standard pick. You had to expect that to be the number one pick, right? I didn't even have that on my list because I figured I wouldn't have a chance to take him.
I didn't even have him in my pool.
Yeah, I didn't think there's a chance I'd get him. I'm taking Captain Crunch. I think Captain Crunch delivers
Is he a captain or cap'n?
It's close enough. No.
Ooh, that's a good point.
not even entertaining that. Captain Crunch.
Are you sure he's a actual captain, though? They just don't go with Captain to subvert it?
Man, damn it!
No, you can go. I'm just being pedantic. Don't even look it up. I don't care that much, dude. It's Captain Crunch. You can have the pick.
Okay.
I'm just being an asshole.
My pick is Captain Crunch because he's specifically Crunch Berries. If you eat the regular Captain Crunch, you're a fucking lunatic.
You ever play the Captain Crunch video game for PC that they put into the cereal boxes?
No, but everyone talked about that the other day when I tweeted about it. I've never played it.
Oh, it was so much fun.
I'm gonna pick Captain Picard.
Oh, fuck you.
Captain John Luke Picard. Just because I think
John Luke Picard?
Fuck you.
Jean Luke Picard, because that's who I think Kenjack was gonna pick, and I want that dude on my team now.
He was not in my top five.
Oh.
So
surprising. Well, I still like Jean Luke Picard.
Okay, I'm up for now, right? Okay, so my number one pick is Jack Aubrey from Master and Commander. Love that movie. I think he was a good captain. He managed to capture a much bigger ship in whatever that was, the Andromeda or something. And enjoyed that movie quite a bit. One of all-time dad movies. My second pick, this guy's actually a pirate. Captain Flint from Black Sails. Black Sails is one of my all-time favorite shows. Captain Flint really manipulated everything around him to like at an expert level to try and make sure that the pirates stayed free and not under the British yoke. And not everyone appreciated him for his efforts, especially not John Silver. Guy was a real dickhead sometimes until he realized what the grand scheme of things was. And so that's my pick. Captain Flint, great guy. You should definitely watch Black Sails if you have a Star subscription.
Inspiration for the song at the end of the pod. I'm now going to play Sail by AWOL Nation. That's going to be the song to end it.
Never going to pick my song.
That's the intro to them. I nodded your show. All right. So far, Captain America, Captain Crunch, Captain Jean-Luc or Luke Picard, depending on who you are. And then Captain Jack Aubrey and Captain Flint. Trill, second pick in round two. Who you got?
I'm going with the sea captain from The Simpsons. Arrgh, my leg is gone.
Good pick. Lots of comedy there to pair with your cosmic man.
I don't know the reference. I'm going to look it up.
I'm going to select, I got to get comedy as well. Captain Gene Mock, I believe is how you pronounce it. And that would be Michael Keaton's character from The Other Guys. One of the funniest comedy characters I've ever seen with his TLC references working at Bed Bath & Beyond.
there's that whole scene where he calls him Captain too. He's like, don't call me Captain Gene. Makes me sound like a something. I forgot what he said, but it's really funny.
We love that fucking movie. We are big time fans. Yeah, I mean, that's a great character. So easy pick for me. Audience, next pick. I mean, whatever. This is a basic team. Captain Jack Sparrow. They're gonna get most of their picks. And that means they're number three. They get it. They beat Ken Jack to it, and that's Captain Sully Sullenberger.
Good.
The audience, you didn't want him?
No, I didn't want Captain. I have a list of worst captains on my sheet too. and he's 2A, and it's like, great job landing the plane, doing your job, dumb shit. Maybe try not hitting geese.
Yeah.
Stupid. Ugly.
Ugly. If you met him, would you call him ugly?
I would absolutely call him ugly if I knew him in person.
My pick, I'm going to go with a childhood favorite. These books, I always said I read them. I never did because I'm a bad reader, and that's Captain Underpants.
Oh.
I loved Captain Underpants, and I think I liked it for the novelty of being crude at a young age. You felt edgy and badass because you're reading Captain, just this fucking burpo looking guy in underpants superhero. Absurd looking human being this guy was. Actually, the movie wasn't all that terrible, but I like Captain Underpants, even though I never actually read the books because I couldn't read well. So still can't. All right, Trill.
Also a favorite from my childhood, Jeff, Captain Stabbin from Reality Kings.
That's a great pick. Shit.
Our favorite sea captain who only really seems to know how to captain small speedboats and pontoon boats for some reason.
This graphic is going to stuck.
How am I going to put that on the graphic?
He definitely has a PG picture. I mean, if I actually, I'm going to have to make an amendment pick and get Johnny Sins in here. I wonder if he was ever a captain in anything.
How do I get this picture? God damn it.
Hold on, I got to do a quick... I'm doing a quick Google spree to see if he was ever a captain in anything. I need to make sure, because if he was and I miss out on picking Johnny Sins, I'll really be pissed off. Now, shoot, he's a firefighter, but not technically a captain. All right, I'll have to come back to that later. My number three...
Generic captain. All right, go ahead. Jesus
my number three, Captain Rex from Star Wars Clone Wars.
Oh.
Captain Rex. He was an all-time captain. He was also technically, I think he was in Clone Wars for the movie, right? For like a split second? Or making that up?
In, actual Star Wars?
Yeah.
Rex was
Captain? Yeah, he was. No, wait, no, it's Commander Cody. Shit. We know Rex, he was Captain Rex, yeah.
Cody or Rex? Rex was in Return of the Jedi, actually, in canon.
Really?
Canon, he appears, yeah. It's one of those weird things that they did, but yeah, he is in canon.
Oh, nice. Well, Captain Rex, really good captain. My next pick, Captain John Price from the Call of Duty franchise. He's great. Captain Soap McTavish, not as good captain. Just going to say it.
Didn't he turn on the team or get killed or something?
John Price, sir? No.
Soap McTavish.
Soap has a complicated history. I'm not even going to try and get into the lore of Soap McTavish. He's a weird cat.
It's more than you can tactically ascertain.
It's more than I could try to explain in one podcast episode. But I'm going Captain John Price. He's also in like some of the other Call of Duties. He's great. Love him. Love his handlebar mustache. Guy ruled.
Captain who? So I'm clear.
John Price.
Price. Okay. He's a fucking porn actor.
Don't count your blessings yet.
Ah, fuck. Trill, what's your next pick? Is it PG?
I thought we were doing three.
Oh, we're doing five.
Oh, no, dude. Famous captains. Oh, dude. Hold on. Captain. I thought we were doing three, dude.
The rundown specifically says five. Oh,
Captain Jack from the Billy Joel song.
Okay. All right. Good pick. I'm going to have to pick Captain Planet. I'm going with Captain Planet. Captain Planet's my pick there. I don't want to pick Captain Kirk. Audience gets Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is their first or their last pick in round four. And then with their last pick in the captain draft, they're going with Kurt Russell, Captain Ron. Captain Ron is the final pick. Which is not what I thought would happen there, but that's who they're going with. I actually had a prediction for who Ken Jack would pick. I'm not sure that's who you're going to pick now based on what this bit sounds like. My last pick, I'm going to go into the realm of football and pick former cornerback for the Carolina Panthers, Captain Munnerlyn. Going to just kind of span the globe there of different types of things. Captain Planet, Captain Underpants, Captain Gene Mock from the other guys, Captain Crunch. Trill, round it out for your team.
I'm going to take El Capitan from the
Free Solo.
Free Solo.
Yep. Okay, that's good. That's a good pick. That's a good pick. Look at that. On the fly, you made maybe the best pick yet.
It's a fucking rock formation.
Captain Stabbing was pretty good. Ken Jack, last pick.
So I have not been able to tactically ascertain if Johnny Sins has ever been a captain. I did see one where he was.
Just pick him. Just pick him.
No, I can't. I can't.
Johnny Sins reporting for duty.
No, because the graphic is too funny. You have to pick him. I'm sorry.
I was just looking. Look, there's one picture where he's an astronaut, and I have to assume that at one point he was the rank of captain before he got to be a flight engineer. So I'm only assuming he at some point was a captain before becoming an astronaut. So I'm thinking I could be him. If not, it would be Captain Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly, but I think I'm going to go Johnny Sins here.
If you would have done if you would have not done this, which this is great because the graphic is
it would have been Captain Phillips.
I'm surprised it would have been Captain Nemo. Love the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Dude, fuck that guy. That movie was so goddamn bad. I'm mad at you guys for thinking that was good. I've seen it like 20 times. I know it's bad. Like, I'm telling you.
I thought you liked it.
No, yeah. I hate League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Really?
Yeah. You guys are the ones that said liked it.
None of us said we liked it.
Somebody definitely said they liked it.
You guys said you liked it. I said it was terrible.
Maybe I said I enjoyed how stupid it was.
Hey, Ken Jack. Johnny Sins.
Oh, God. Fuck you. When you cumbly bumbly like a bubberfly.
That's gotta be it.
Come in for the Mumbi shot.
This has to be it.
Is their nature's way of saying good morning.
Oh no,
Cumbies. Get your coffee at Cumbies, you fucking cockeyed fuck.
Bab shots to Mayan's way of saying I love you.
All right, we got to recap these. Audience, Captain America, Captain Jack Sparrow, Captain Sully, Captain Marvel, Captain Ron. I have Captain Crunch, Captain Jean Maw, Captain Underpants, Captain Planet, Captain Munnerlin, Trill has Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Sea Captain, Captain Stabbin, Captain Jack, Captain Jack, the El Capitan, Ken Jack has Captain Jack Aubrey, Captain Flint, Captain Rex, Captain John Price, and Johnny Sins.
Captain Johnny Sins.
It's not even Captain anything. It's just Johnny Sins. He doesn't have Captain in front of his name. Let's make it, when you do the graphic, make sure it's astronaut Johnny Sins specifically. Or it could be the Army Johnny Sins. Your choice.
I'm going to tweet a picture of it now and just say, ladies and gentlemen, Captain Johnny Sins.
R-E-T dot Johnny Sins. Put an Armageddon logo on this Johnny Sins. Put Armageddon 2. Like Armageddon 2 is in the works. What do you think? And see how many people
come. Okay.
Armageddon, right. This money shot in.
All right. That's what I'm gonna do. let's see if I can do it before the end of the pod. Anything you guys want to talk about? Get into here?
No, I think we've gone way off the rails.
What was the rails that we went off on? Was it Johnny Sins or Captain Stabbin?
I think Captain Stabbin was like the quarter on the rails that caused the train to jump, and then the bridge we fell off of was Johnny Sins.
So you want me to tag him?
Yeah, just tag Johnny Sins in it. I'm telling you, he'll respond, and then we'll get a ton more likes.
All right, here, I'm going to send you the pictures so we can get a live reaction. Sending it over now. So tweet this?
Yes.
Okay. The context on this is going to be completely lost until people listen to the episode, which is funny because I know there are people who follow us who do not. You just quote tweeted it. Let's go. That's become our new thing we don't talk about. I love tweeting the one thing during the episode. Also, by the way, what's that circle meme called?
The summoning circle.
Summoning circle did okay. 83 retweets, 776.
Oh, like. I thought it was this one right here. I'm showing you guys in the camera.
Oh, nice, dude.
Wow, nice.
All right. Look, I'm glad you can listen along as we do memes. Damn, nice inside scoop. Congrats to Johnny. I just said, wait a second. Someone replied, seriously, who is asking for this? Not everything needs a sequel. These are going to be good replies.
Man, if Instagram was working right now, I'd post it right there, but it's fucking still broken.
It is. That's crazy. Oh, my God.
Yeah, all right. This is a good episode.
We were off the rails from the get-go. Hope you enjoyed it. Triple Frontier next week. I think we have an interview on Sunday. No, we have an interview next week with the Broken Lizard guys, Steve Lemmy and John Farber. They were very fun. That's it. For Ken Jack and Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Sunday.
Have a good week at the box office. I just want a good time. I just want a good time. I got enough on my mind. I just want a good time. I just want a good time. I got enough on my mind. I just want to catch vibes with strangers, find out when neighbors from back in LA, yeah. I just want to call up my exes, wish them the best is, I'm that kind of wasted. I just want to tell the bar back, line them up, cause this whole world needs some love. I just want to stop obsessing and just start letting it all go. I just want a good time. I just want a good time. I got enough on my mind. I just want a good time. I just wanna. Hey, this is Marty Mush. Congrats on finishing your favorite Barstool podcast. I have a gift for you. You have been carefully selected for a special Barstool Sports sale, and all you have to do is use STORE10 for 10% off everything on store.barstoolsports.com. Before you start your next episode, head over there now. That's STORE10 for 10% off everything on store.barstoolsports.com. Please keep this between us.